This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into a Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Nick Whalen. He's Jeff Erickson. We're here with you from rotowire.com, hanging out for the next hour, talking all things the Open, previewing the World Cup final on Sunday. Our friend Adam Zdrowicz from rotowire.com is going to stop by the show in about 10 minutes for a full preview, kind of recapping what we've seen over the last month or so here at the World Cup. We're coming out of the All-Star break, although we did have one game in Major League Baseball last night, but full slate coming our way later today. So we'll have Adam Burke from VSiN.com giving us some plays as we look ahead to the second half in Major League Baseball, and then all of Jeff Erickson's best bets for a loaded Friday. Make sure you download the Prop Points podcast wherever you get your podcast. Could be Apple, could be Spotify, could be some other service that I'm not sure what that would even be at this point, but wherever you're getting your podcast, make sure you're subscribed, make sure you're downloading Prop Points and all VSiN programming. Just search Prop Points or search VSiN, and you will find us on those platforms. Jeff, we are in the midst of round two at the Open, and Jackson Suber is putting together a nice little round here. He was your day one leader. He is now at 6 under after going 1 under today. So sitting 2 shots back, along with Cam Young, who's also at 6 under behind Lucas Herbert, who puts up an 8 under 62. Both he and Sam Burns tying the PGA major record for lowest round earlier today. So Herbert, even in round one, goes 8 under today. Currently your solo leader. Still plenty of big names out on the course finishing up their second round. If we take a look at the odds board, Scottie Scheffler, still your favorite to win the tournament, plus 405 over at DraftKings. Cam Young, plus 630. Herbert, plus 820. Bryson DeChambeau, plus 860. And then a whole slew of names, somewhere between 13 and about 30 to 1. But what have been your takeaways so far, Jeff? We do have some big names either in danger of missing the cut or pretty much guaranteed already to be missing that cut.
Absolutely, including Matt Fitzpatrick, who is going to be my best bet for a top 20. Hard to be top 20 when you miss a cut. Cut lines looking at plus one. Victor Hovland's blown up today and not in a good way, plus 5 on the day, plus 5 for the tournament. He's got about 7 holes left to go, so pretty late, pretty tough to salvage that for sure. Alex Fitzpatrick has been the better of the two Fitzpatricks so far. Rory redeemed himself today after a tough round yesterday, really tough putting round yesterday. You and I were watching that one while we were doing the show live yesterday. And, you know, when you have the montage of missed putts, it's never a good thing there. And we had a little bit of that, had a little bit of Jordan Spieth doing that today as well. It was tough to watch that. Overall, the scoring conditions are pretty good. And that's one of the things I'm enjoying is like, you know, I want to see the players struggle. I want to see one day where the wind's up. But I also don't want to see it like every day where they're just, you know, battered souls. I want to see them have that one good scoring day. The 262s today, that's unreal. You never see that in any major, let alone the British.
Yeah, we mentioned Scottie Scheffler hanging around 4-1 to win the tournament. He is still out there, just parred number 9. So onto the back 9 for Scottie. He's 1 under today, was 2 under yesterday. So send that 3 under, 5 shots back again of your leader, Lucas Herbert. So, you know, like you said, you were in on Matt Fitzpatrick. I'm in on Xander, who's going to make the cut, but you don't feel great about a top 10 right now. Let's see how that leaderboard changes over the weekend. But anything you would consider reloading as we look ahead to the finishing rounds on Saturday and Sunday?
We're not talking enough about Cam Young. Just steady as it goes right now. And maybe it's because in recent majors he struggled a little bit. But, you know, he's had a great year earlier. He's had some big wins. You know, the TPC obviously was a big one there, had a huge weekend at the Masters. He's sitting in great position right now. And we, you know, we're focused on Bryson and strategy and what's wrong with Scottie and all that. And meanwhile, Cam Young's just stringing together these rounds, you know, at 6.5 to 1. I mean, you're not getting a great price, but still it's cheaper than Scottie, who he's got a few strokes on there. I don't mind that at all.
Keep an eye on John Rahm as well. He's 3 under for the tournament, yeah. 2 under through 10 so far in the second round. So definitely in the lurking zone. He is your 5th short shot right now to win the tournament at about 12-1 over at DraftKings, plus 188 for a top 5 in minus money territory, minus 114 right now for a top 10. So good to see John Rahm in the mix. Jeff, as we mentioned, we had one standalone Major League Baseball game last night. I kind of feel bad for the Mets and the Phillies, you know, getting their All-Star break cut short. Everybody else is still flying back from vacation. They had to play this game last night. Ended up being a 4-1 win for the New York Mets. Christian Scott picks up the win. Aaron Nola, it was not a disaster start compared to what we've seen from him over the first half, but another loss on the ledger for Aaron Nola. Any takeaways for you as the second half got underway in Major League Baseball last night?
They started that game an hour early yesterday because of the smoke, which is, you know, you dealt with that in the upper Midwest. And, it, you know, seeing pictures of Chicago and Michigan yesterday were pretty tough. And you could see it creeping in on Philly. They tried to get it in before it got really bad. Luckily, they're off today, so they don't have to deal with it. I'm worried about some of these games today on the East Coast to see how that's going to be affected. You know, back on, what was it, Wednesday, there were flight delays out of New York due to this. It's an ongoing issue here. Unfortunately, the Canadian wildfire is wreaking all sorts of havoc everywhere there. Having lived through that out here at times, I know how bad it can get. And so really watching to see how that one goes. Big game for Alvarez, really matched up quite well against Aaron Nola. So he had a couple homers in that game. That was huge. I missed on my over-under on that one, the team total at 4.5. The Mets had bases loaded, nobody out, and hit a line drive to the first baseman for a double play. Didn't score any runs in that inning. That's what cost me my team total over there.
Folks, you want to bet smarter this season? Then you need all the tools we offer over at RotoWire. Our brand new Smart Money tool shows you exactly where the sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line. And that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff delivers rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, and data-driven insights across every sport every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy leagues, or both, RotoWire has you covered. Head to rotowire.com right now. Use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. Put that in at checkout. It'll get you 15% off anything we offer. That's rotowire.com, promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. No better time to sign up for RotoWire as we roll out our full suite of fantasy football content. So again, just put in that code VSIN, get yourself 15% off.
All right, Nick, we got a lot of summer league action. Sorry, I was going to cue you up on that there, my friend. It's been shutdown season for some players, but there, you know, some have really jumped out. I want to ask you, how has your approach to the rookie of the year race changed after seeing some of these players in the summer league?
Yeah, it's a good question because you certainly do not want to overrate what we've seen in summer league. I will say it again. We've seen a lot of players who turned out to be bad NBA players perform well at summer league. We've seen a lot of players who were great NBA players struggle in their initial summer league. But when you have a class that's as loaded at the top and really throughout the lottery as this one looks to be, it's hard not to, you know, read into what we've seen so far, especially when all four of the top four picks, you know, are performing at a high level. So yes, what we've seen in summer league has impacted a little bit how I look at the rookie of the year race. The odds have adjusted accordingly as well. We've seen a little bit of movement at the top. We currently have Darren Peterson and Cameron Boozer now co-favorites at DraftKings, both plus 330. AJ Devonta just behind at plus 380. Caleb Wilson has shortened up to plus 425. And we've seen Darius Acuff now move down to 9-1. I'm not sure I would look outside of that range. You know, someone like Yaxel Lendeborg at 25-1 is appealing. I don't really see it necessarily with Mikel Brown. He's also 25-1. Keaton Wagler, who on balance has not looked good so far in Vegas, he's sunk now to 40-1. But, you know, I think Caleb Wilson is the biggest riser for me. I think Devonta, Boozer, Peterson have basically looked the part. They've played like we expected. I think Wilson is the guy of that group who's played significantly better. You know, I think we knew what to expect in terms of the intensity, the defense, the hustle, but his offensive game is clearly much further along than we expected. You know, we were looking at, okay, if he can make, you know, maybe around 1 3-pointer per game, maybe he can shoot 33-34% from beyond the arc. He's just taking open looks. That would be great. I mean, he's come out and put up an insane 3-point attempt rate. The shot looks significantly better than it did at North Carolina. And I think he's going to be ready to be a much bigger offensive engine for this Bulls team, maybe than we thought coming into Las Vegas. So he's somebody I'm putting more consideration in right now at plus 425. And then conversely, Jeff, you know, I made the case after the draft for why Darius Acuff was one of the better values on the board. And it really came down to just opportunity in Sacramento. You know, DeMar DeRozan isn't there anymore. They're probably going to try to find a way at some point to get off of Zach LaVine. Maybe they do the same with Domantas Sabonis. Even if that all comes to fruition, yes, there will be opportunity for Acuff, but what are the numbers ultimately going to look like? You know, I think a lot of the concerns, a lot of the shortcomings that we saw at the college level for Acuff have been on display in Las Vegas so far. He has not been very efficient. You know, he's shooting 36, 37% from the field on really high volume. The three-point shot has kind of been hit or miss. He's turning the ball over a ton. He's struggling on the defensive end. And look, there are some classes that come into the NBA where just putting up raw numbers, yeah, maybe that can get you the Rookie of the Year award. But when it's as loaded at the top as this class looks to be, I don't think that's going to be enough for Darius Acuff.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, because of the new anti-tanking rules, it's possible that Sacramento might not give him the leash that we might have expected either. If he's really hurting the team just that much, maybe he won't have as many opportunities as we're seeing that, as we might have initially anticipated there. Real quick, are there any non-lottery picks that jumped out to your eye? Late first round or second round picks that jumped out and said, hey, this guy might be able to play.
It's got to be Malik Thomas, man. Malik Thomas of the Cleveland Cavaliers. And unfortunately, I don't know if he's going to have a ton of opportunity because of how much depth the Cavaliers have in their backcourt. But I think you could argue he's been the most impressive player at Summer League in terms of performance relative to expectations. He got better and better with each passing game. He was extremely comfortable as a scorer, as a distributor, making plays on the defensive end. You know, again, he's somebody who's probably going to spend some time in the G League this year. Maybe he can earn some minutes off the bench, but if you're looking for a second round pick to keep an eye on next season, it has to be Malik Thomas for the Cavaliers. We're going to switch things over, talk some World Cup when we come back. Adam Zdrowicz, our soccer expert at RotoWire, joining us next. This is Prop Points.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. We have one more weekend of World Cup games. We got a third place game on Saturday in the championship between Argentina and Spain on Sunday. Here to join us to preview that, review what happened in the semis, is our good friend Adam Zdrowicz from RotoWire.com, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. He is our lead soccer writer, statistician, runs our coverage there. He's our media guy when it comes to all things soccer. Follow him on Twitter at RotoZdrowicz. Adam, thank you so much for joining us again today. How excited are you for Sunday for Spain-Argentina?
This is it. Pretty excited. You got to be excited in my spot. But yep. you also said this is the final weekend of the World Cup. What do we have to look forward to? We're talking about, you know, Bryson. We're talking about WNBA. MLS is back. I don't know. I'm just not ready for to say goodbye to the World Cup just yet.
Yeah. Speaking of Bryson, he's now down to 5 under. A couple more birdies. He is tied for fourth place in the Open Championships. Let's handicap this this game here. A lot of different angles we can take on that. Let's start off on, just on the sides. We'll go with the bottom line here. Who do you like in this game?
I've been in Spain throughout the tournament, and outside of the Messi magic here, fingers crossed, but I'm going to be on Spain again. I just think overall, I kind of said it in the matchup against France. I like the value there. And now we're still getting, if you want to take them in 90 minutes, you can take Spain on the money line, plus 125. You get into the minus money a little bit, minus 150 to actually win the cup. That includes extra time. That includes PKs. But I like the 90 minutes here. And I just think that between these teams, the way that Argentina have played, I know Spain hasn't had the blowouts. I mean, they've had some close games. It hasn't been easy for them. They've needed Mikel Merino off the bench to get a couple winners for them. But Argentina, you look at all their games, the way that they're playing the first half, it's like, okay, let's grind this thing out. Let's keep this thing scoreless in the first half. And then they either hope the other team doesn't score, but the other team always seems to score. And then they pour it on. You know, they put on, what, four forwards against England, and England kind of fell apart there. You could, you know, blame a few people in terms of how that happened. But at the end of the day, Argentina has done this against a lot of teams. Are they going to do this against Spain? The main reason I'm on Spain is I don't think it's going to happen that way for Spain. They play better as a team, I think, overall. Combined with their head coach, combined with their players and how they play, the way that they contain the ball, have possession, is going to be enough here in this spot. Whereas England, it just fell apart for them. I don't think Spain are going to fall apart that same way.
All right, so we're on Spain for the side, Adam, but it is the World Cup final. We got to go a little bit deeper here. How else are you looking to play this game on Sunday, whether it's props or, you know, some of these game specials?
Yeah, the under 2.5 goals is minus 165, which is tough. So it makes all the props tough, because if you are on the underside, you don't want to take whoever shots over. The over-under on their shots, a lot of these sports books, a lot of places, you can't take unders. It's only overs. So if you can find somewhere where you can take unders, go for it. But for the most part, you can't really take shot unders, which would be a spot I'd probably attack, because I do think it's another game where we're going to be 10 to 12 shots for each of these teams. We're not going to have maybe Messi if it gets kind of wild. We'll have 5-plus shots, but we're not really going to see a ton of shots from these players. But the one side I do like, there's still some value here because, again, over-under, under 2.5 goals is minus 165. I like Yamal, goal or assist. I was on Anthony Gordon in the last game. I've been on the wingers against this Argentina side where they're probably their main weakness is their fullbacks. And now you throw in Lamine Yamal, one of the best wingers in the world. They haven't really played. I mean, no one has really played someone like him in this tournament. I think we're also getting pretty good numbers on Yamal. He hasn't had the best in terms of goal involvements. He has one goal, zero assists throughout this World Cup. So I think that's also going into the odds a little bit. So it's plus 120 for a goal or assist for Yamal. I think the way that Spain score here, in addition to Yamal kind of stepping up in the big moment, I think that's going to be the main edge here for Spain. Again, I said the wings for England was going to be their advantage. It was a winger to a winger for their goal. I think it's going to be kind of similar where Argentina are going to have to focus on Yamal and putting one, two, maybe three defenders, bringing in a midfielder to help on that side as well. But at the end of the day, you can't put three defenders on a player and expect to come out on the winning side. So I think it'll open up to where Yamal, goal or assist, plus 120. That's my favorite player prop after looking at the odds.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes when we get into a big game like this, we dive into the details. We start looking at maybe half bets and things of that nature there. Both of these teams have been closers. Both of these teams have done a lot of their scoring in late in games. We saw the game winner from Spain a couple of times, very late from a sub. Argentina notably has come back in almost every single game. Do you like to fade the scoring in the first half of this game?
Yeah, the odds aren't amazing. Under zero goals basically in the first half is plus 140. I looked at the draw in the first half. That's about plus 100, minus 105, depending where you look. Pretty even odds there if you just want to take the draw. But at the end of the day, I think it's, you know, much more likely it's 0-0 at halftime rather than 1-1. So let's just bet no goals in the first half. Plus 140. That's how Argentina wanted this game to go in the first half. So, and it's not like Spain are going to be, you know, full out attack. This is the World Cup final. These teams aren't going to come out and put guys forward and put them at risk in the back. You know, they're not going to be at risk to allowing Yamal a free shot on target or Messi on the other end, that kind of thing. So kind of similar to what we saw in the semifinals, where basically nothing happened in that first, in the Argentina-England game in the first half there. And then outside of the PK for Spain-France, there wasn't a ton of things that happened. So I think it's going to be the same mindset here. Argentina going to want to kind of dirty this thing up a little bit. And can Spain find a goal in the first half? I'll take a little bit of value here. Plus 140 under half a goal here. No goals in the first half.
So you may be on Spain to win the game, Adam, from a betting perspective. But I'm curious, what are you rooting for as a soccer fan? You know, are we going into a situation where most people want to see Messi go back to back, you know, kind of solidify himself as the unquestioned modern greatest of all time, if you will? Is there a scenario in which it's more fun if Spain wins? You know, what should we expect in terms of the general vibe heading into this game on Sunday outside of a betting perspective?
Outside of a betting perspective, outside of DFS perspective, where I lost a lot in the England game, outside of all of that, I think you want to say, okay, we'll say Messi gets the opening goal in the first half, and then Argentina haven't shown that they can defend really a lead at any point in this tournament. You combine that, and if it gets back and forth, you have Spain pushing, and that's the most likely outcome to where we get multiple goals. We get Spain getting up to 2-3 goals. We get Argentina 2-3 goals, that kind of thing. So you want Argentina to score preferably in the first half, and then for the world, for Messi to get that opening goal. That would be probably what you want to see, back and forth, Messi getting another goal. And I know the over-under is, you know, minus 165 on the under 2.5. But again, if Argentina do score first, I think, you know, if that happens, maybe you can take a live bet to, you know, bet the over at that point, because I think Spain have the bodies, push the ball forward. They can get goals against this Argentina back line. So Argentina first goal, and hopefully we get fireworks from there, I will say.
Third place game is Saturday. We're allowed to bet on it, as it turns out. Do you have any betting interest in that game? Do you care about this game? Does anybody but Kylian Mbappe care about this game?
Probably not. Mbappe is going for the golden boot here, and I'm not going to be touching this until we see the lineups. That's the only thing you have to wait on, because what is this England team going to look like? What is the France team going to look like? Mbappe may not even play, but I kind of think that's a doubt. If Mbappe is going for the golden boot, he's probably going to start here. We're going to get rotated England, and we'll see what the lineups look like, but I'll probably actually lean on Mbappe to score 2+ goals, maybe a hat trick. A hat trick's +1200. Like, it's not crazy. Sometimes these games really get out of hand, and then when you just combine with how England have looked without certain players and when they get tired late in games, like without Declan Rice, who's not going to start. He's been dealing with an injury. He's their main midfielder. Elliot Anderson has started, played almost every minute for him. If you take away certain midfielders, certain defenders for England, that's really going to open things up. And then no matter who plays for France next to Mbappe, you're going to get goals. Like, it's still a pretty elite attack. So I'll be betting on goals, and I'll be betting on Mbappe to score. So,
Adam, awesome stuff. Appreciate all the help you've given us, all the bets you've given us throughout the World Cup. Again, you can follow Adam on Twitter, on X, at RotoZadroic. Find all of his great work for us over at rotowire.com. Enjoy the final game, Adam, the final weekend of the World Cup, and we'll check in with you come college hoop season.
Yeah, Nick, importantly, I didn't mention what we want to see from this World Cup game is for you to actually tune in and watch all of it and for it to be exciting for you. How about that?
I'll give you a guarantee. I'll watch at least one half of this game, Adam. I will for sure watch the second half. I promise you. I don't think I have any plans on Sunday as of now. So there we have it. Adam Zdrojek, everybody. Again, check him out over at rotowire.com. We got to head to break. When we come back, Adam Burke, VSiN managing editor, joining us for some baseball talk. This is Prop Points on the Sports Bet.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson and Nick Whalen here. Joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line, made a really far trip. He's Adam Burke, VSiN's managing editor. Follow him over at Twitter, at Skating Tripods. Adam, thank you so much for joining us today. Did you enjoy your All-Star break? Did you enjoy the game or the home run derby at all?
Yeah, I never really watched the All-Star game. I'll watch the home run derby, just kind of, you know, my childhood nostalgia about it, but it's nice to step away from the grind of handicapping baseball every single day, like we do, you know, throughout the course of the season here. And also an opportunity to write up some college football and keep working on that with our college football betting guide coming out Monday, August 3rd. So while a lot of people take vacations, and I know we got a lot of fill-in hosts and all that, I stayed plenty busy with the college football betting guide coming up.
Yeah, we'd love to hear it. Adam. You're in charge of all the great betting guides over at VSiN. You can make sure you get signed up for the college football betting guide. Grab the NFL betting guide. That is live now as well. Go check it out over at VSiN.com. Unfortunately, we are back to the grind now with a full MLB slate on Friday. We dipped our toes back in with Phillies Mets last night, but full slate coming our way tonight. And you have a couple plays in pocket, Adam. So let's start with Cubs Twins. What are we looking at in that game?
Yeah, hopefully we get all these games today. You know, we got the smoke concerns from the wildfires up in Canada. So I know there's been some rumors that maybe we'll get some doubleheaders tomorrow or something like that. Hopefully we get everything in here for tonight. But you got good hitting conditions tonight in Chicago at Wrigley Field. Wind blowing out, going to be good and hot. You got two pitch to contact guys here in Colin Ray and Bailey Ober. I'm going to trust the Cubs offense here. I'm going to go ahead and fade Bailey Ober. Came back from injury and pitched well against Cleveland, but Cleveland doesn't hit for any power whatsoever. The Cubs are capable of hitting for power here. So Ober's a fly ball guy, giving up a lot of home runs so far this season. Guy who throws a lot of strikes. He's around the plate a ton. Colin Ray is at least a little bit better at keeping the ball on the ground. And also the Cubs, really, really good defensive team as well. So I took the Cubs first five run line, minus half a run, minus 110. If you look at both of these team totals for the first five, both of them 2.5, but very heavy juice on Chicago's over 2.5. Whereas the Twins 2.5, kind of flat, you know, minus 115, minus 110 in that range. So the modeling crowd, the market seems to definitely think that the Cubs have a little bit more success early on offensively in this game. I tend to agree with that position. So I think the Cubs on the first five run line tonight against the Twins, minus half a run, minus 110.
Adam, many viewers know I'm a self-hating Reds fan. These last 2 months have been predictable torture. And we get into Coors Field now with Brady Singer on the mound. What could possibly go wrong in that one here? What do you have going on in this game?
Yeah, I think a lot could go wrong for Brady Singer. I mean, you talk about a guy who's 90% pitch usage, sinker, slider, and you know, this Rockies team, not surprising, right? They see a lot of sinkers at home because pitchers think, oh, well, I'm going to try to keep the ball down. I'm going to try to keep the ball in the park. Doesn't always work that way. But the Rockies are hitting 339 at home off of sinkers so far this season. That's tops in the league. Not a big surprise. Fourth in slugging percentage, third in weighted on base average. And also they're a top 10 offense against sliders and sweepers at home too. So the two pitches that Brady Singer is going to throw tonight, I don't know that either one of them are going to be very effective. Certainly not the sinker. This Reds team, you know, I think something that we're kind of looking at here a little bit, and this is a big handicapping angle for me tonight with Padres Royals. Some teams are excited to get back to work and some teams are not. I don't think the Reds are very excited to get back to work right now. You know, I mean, they started out so well 2011 at the end of April, and then everything just completely fell apart. Their record in one run games saw some regression to the mean. You know, Sal Stewart saw a lot of regression to the mean. Ellie De La Cruz got hurt. You know, obviously they've been trying to work Hunter Green back and now he's finally back, but Nick Lodolo's a walking injury risk, all these kinds of things. I just don't think this Reds team is super enthused to get back to the everyday grind. Whereas for Colorado, a lot of guys trying to prove themselves, including starter tonight, Gabriel Hughes, their first round pick out of 2022's draft from Gonzaga. Big guy, pitched well so far, had five straight appearances in the minor leagues without giving up a run before he got called up. I think he'll have some success tonight, and I don't see Brady Singer having any success tonight. So I took the Rockies minus 115 in this one.
We'll have more from Adam Burke in just a moment. But folks, there's no shortage of betting opportunities this summer, from daily MLB and World Cup soccer to the countdown to NFL season. That's why now's the perfect time to lock in VSiN's football special for just $175. You get full VSiN Pro access all the way through the Super Bowl, including the all-new 2026-27 NFL betting guide to help you attack futures, win totals, division races in the upcoming season at large. Plus, you'll get daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and coverage of every major sport all year long. And remember, the earlier you sign up, the more value you get. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Get your hands on that 2026-27 NFL betting guide, part of the VSiN football special, just $175. We got Adam Burke, VSiN.com managing editor, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. It's Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. Adam, one more play on the baseball card for you today. Looking at Padres Royals, Kansas City, fading this team has been a profitable strategy so far. They lost five in a row. They've dropped 13 of their last 17 heading into the break. Are we going to continue to fade the Kansas City Royals coming out of the All-Star break?
Yeah, you hit some of the things I was going to hit on there, Nick. I mean, you know, like I said, I think some teams are excited to get back to work. Some teams aren't, or at the very least, maybe not excited is the word, but the Padres can't be happy with how their first half went. I mean, they just simply can't be. So this is a team that I think is going to come out pretty focused, pretty motivated, a little bit rejuvenated here after the All-Star break. Michael King on the bump tonight, been good. The advanced metrics kind of suggest some, you know, negative regression in the profile. Expected ERA is about a run higher than his regular ERA. Stuff like that, but throwing the ball pretty well here of late. Seth Lugo has not thrown the ball well pretty much at any point throughout the course of this season here. And also, if you're going to give me the Padres at minus 120 or so with their bullpen in a game where possibly the starters kind of cancel out or something like that, I'm going to take that more often than not. So I think the Padres are worth it tonight at Kauffman Stadium. I think they're, you know, going to go out there, try to win as many games as possible, be buyers at the trade deadline, try to set themselves up for a big push at a wild card spot. Whereas for the Royals, I mean, this is not where they expected to be at all whatsoever. I don't know that they're going to be hitting the ground running here. They're going to be a seller at the trade deadline for whatever they decide to, you know, trade off bullpen pieces, maybe some rotation guys, who knows. But I think the Padres are definitely more engaged here tonight. I think the pitching matchup favors them, and obviously their bullpen at a short favorite price is attractive to me.
Adam, let's talk Tigers a little bit here. They were the betting favorite for the AL Central. Many had them as a dark horse to get out of the American League, even maybe to win the World Series. You and I both did the VSiN betting futures draft, and you had a couple of Tigers futures there. Obviously, people are paying attention to them coming out of the break. They've got one last chance to kind of, you know, insert them a little bit themselves a little bit closer to either the wild card or the AL Central race. They do have a positive run differential, plus 24. What say you about their chances for the second half of the season? Are you still sanguine on their opportunities here?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the offense kind of got things going a little bit there later on in the first half. And I mean, look, you know, the elephant in the room is, do they keep Tarek Skubal? If they do, they can make a big push at this thing. If they don't, well, it's going to be really tough, you know, and I can certainly understand both sides for them because the American League is very vulnerable this year. I don't think the Rays are as good as their record indicates. The Yankees obviously are just so driven by Aaron Judge and if he's healthy or not. The West doesn't look very good. If the Tigers can get there, I think they're going to be very, very interesting, but they got a lot of ground to make up before they can get there. Yeah, I mean, in our futures draft, I had them 20-1 for the World Series. Obviously, the price is substantially better now. Had them plus 110 to win the Central, had them to win the American League as well. But I'm not ready to give up hope on any of those positions here. And in fact, if you look over at DraftKings, I saw this heading into the break, and I think this is something kind of worth looking at here. They're 7-1 to win the Central Division. But if they're going to win the division, they're going to be either the number two or the number three seed in the American League. They're not going to run down whoever wins the East. So with that in mind, they were 35-1. This market just got taken down here because the day's games have already started. They were 35-1 to be the number two seed, 22-1 to be the number three seed. If you think Detroit can win that division, and I think that they still can, those are two really, really attractive numbers because they'd be the number two or the number three seed winning that Central Division. So that's an alternate way to play them to win the division if you think they can run down Cleveland and Chicago. And I think they can. I mean, Cleveland's offense is still not very good. Chicago's pitching staff concerns me the rest of the way with how durable they may end up being. Both teams could be buyers, but I don't know. Neither team really makes big financial commitments. So I could see Detroit running them down, and I think those are two alternate ways of playing the Tigers to win the division.
Adam, real quickly on the way out, you had Christopher Sanchez at 10-1 to win the NL Cy Young. Do you think he could run down Mizorowski over the second half?
I mean, does he have to run down Mizorowski, right? I mean, obviously right now Mizorowski is a big favorite, but the fatigue thing concerns me. You know, Sanchez is a guy who's going to stay together in all likelihood. How much Mizorowski do we get in the second half? That's the big question in terms of if Sanchez can go out there and win that award and come from behind to do so.
Adam Burke, everybody. Find all of his great work as the managing editor over at VSiN, VSiN.com. Make sure you get your hands on that 2026-27 NFL betting guide. Keep an eye out for the college football betting guide coming your way in just a few weeks. We got to take a break. We'll get Jeff Erickson's picks and plays for the Friday MLB slate when we come back. You're watching Prop Points here on VSiN.
Washing Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson, hanging out with you. The Friday edition here on the Sports Betting Network. Give you a quick update on the Open. Leader in the clubhouse, still Lucas Herbert, of course, at 8-under. Cam Young in at 6-under. Jackson Suber at 6-under as well. Bryson DeChambeau has worked his way to 5-under, still with 5 holes to play. He is 2-under on the day. Again, 5-under for the tournament. John Rahm still hanging around. Just finished up hole 11. He is 3-under. So Bryson now plus 670 over at DraftKings to win the tournament. Cam Young plus 630. Scotty Scheffler still your favorite at plus 510. Jeff, we just spoke with VSiN managing editor Adam Burke. Gave us some initial plays for today's MLB slate. Curious to see what you have on the card as well. We will start with a big series starting in the AL East, the Rays and the Red Sox. Mason Englert taking on Eduardo Rivera. Kind of an interesting pitching matchup here, if you will. But it is, in fact, Dinger Friday on the show, Jeff. So anything you want to get on the card for this game, and then we'll, of course, need an anytime home run prop as well.
Okay, absolutely. So first of all, it's a doubleheader today. First game of that doubleheader is ongoing right now. Actually, they are in the bottom of the first, scoreless. That's Griffin Jacks versus Jake Bennett. Good news, Junior Caminero back in the lineup after getting hit on the hand in the All-Star game. That was like the most noteworthy thing about that All-Star game. But the nightcap, it's Englert, who is like the Rays. He's always their 27th man. He's always the guy they call up. They get they get him for one game and then send him back down. Joe Sheehan has written about that it's kind of unfair to the player in terms of like messing with his salary, not allowing him to be up for more than just a day or two at a time. Wilson Contreras will be coming back from a suspension in that second game. He's hit 20 homers this year, 14 against righties. He slugs 576 at home. He's had 10 homers at home as well. He's the one Red Sox player that hasn't had a power outage at home this season. We'll go Dinger Friday, Wilson Contreras, plus 360 over at FanDuel.
Even bigger series involving another AL East team coming out of the break, Jeff. That is the New York Yankees playing host to the LA Dodgers. Dodgers slight favorites on the road money line, minus 111. Total coming in at 9. It's Roki Sasaki. It's Garrett Cole as our pitching matchup. I know you have a whole slew of plays for this one, so go off.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a little dangerous when you get a whole slew of plays on one particular game. It's almost like you're trying to find things here. But there's a lot that I like, and it's just trying to choose among them. It's like I'd rather choose more in one game that I like than try to force something in a game I don't like. So Garrett Cole, first of all, hasn't been up to the name value. And no surprise, he's coming back from elbow surgery. 4.04 ERA, 120 whip. The swing and miss is really down. It was before the injury is around 11.5%, 12%. It's only 8.4% this year, leading to a lowered K percentage, 22.7 K percentage. And he's allowing more homers. He's more hittable, 1.47 home runs per nine this year. Still better than Roki Sasaki. You know, it looked like Sasaki was turning around, and then he's gotten lit up again a number of times. For the season, 5.33 ERA, 1.36 whip, 19 homers allowed, including 9 in his last 5 starts. His road ERA is 6.25 with a 1.44 whip. He walks a ton of batters on the road, 4.39 batters per nine on the road. So here are my plays. I'm going to start off with the Yankees money line, minus 105 at Hard Rock. How often do you get Garrett Cole at home as barely a favorite? Basically saying that, you know, it's because the Dodgers are such a good team. But when you've got the superior pitching matchup, usually you have to pay a bigger price for that. Sasaki, over 2.5 walks, plus 143 at DraftKings. I'm going to go with the over 9 at minus 114 at FanDuel. And then for Dinger Friday, I thought about a number of different players, including Ryan McMahon. I did end up going with the safer one and Ben Rice. Get that at plus 310 at FanDuel. Noteworthy, there's a pretty wide variance in his home run prop. Usually home run props, they're not the same across sports books, but usually it's no more than like, say, you know, a difference between like, you know, plus 0.5, you know, plus or minus 0.5. He gets it at plus 310 at FanDuel. I've seen it at plus 195 at BetMGM. So shop around when you're on Dinger Friday props.
We'll have some more baseball plays, some more Dinger Friday plays coming for you in just a moment. But first, we got a message from our friends over at DraftKings. Football season is right around the corner, and DraftKings is bringing you their biggest best ball contest ever. We're talking a massive $20 million in total prizes, making this the largest best ball tournament in DraftKings history. And this year, not just one, but three players will walk away as millionaires. And right now, our partners at DraftKings are giving all customers a can't-miss offer. Draft one, get one. Enter a lineup in the $20 million best ball contest for just $25, and you'll receive a bonus best ball ticket to play again free for a share of $20 million, giving you a second shot to be crowned a millionaire. It's simple. Just draft your team once, no weekly management required, and let your top scorers automatically start each week. All season long, every breakout star, every clutch play, every touchdown counts towards your shot at a share of $20 million. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app and enter a lineup in the $20 million best ball contest for just $25 to get a bonus ticket to play free for another shot to win big. That's two shots without ever setting your lineups again in DraftKings' biggest best ball contest ever. Draft one, get one, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours in partnership with DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. 18 plus in most states. Restrictions apply. One per customer. Enter the Best Ball 20 Million Headliner Contest to get one bonus entry. $25 entry fee required. Reward expires at contest lock on September 9th, 2026. See terms at DraftKings.com/promotions. Sponsored by DraftKings. Back here on Prop Points on the Sports Betting Network, giving you some plays for the Friday MLB card. Jeff, let's move over to Pirates Guardians. Pirates two games back at the final wild card spot in the National League coming out of the break. Guardians, of course, tied with the White Sox atop the AL Central. Jared Jones versus Gavin Williams is our pitching matchup. What do you like here?
You know, it's interesting. I like the pitching in this one here. Jared Jones was perfect his last time out. Pulled after 77 pitches in six innings. He's only gone five innings twice. So, of course, DK set the outs recorded prop over under at 14.5. Pretty smart of them there. It is heavily juiced to the over on that one there if you want to try to bet that. I'm going to focus on the strikeouts, though. 27.1% K percentage. He throws at 98 miles an hour. He doesn't walk as many as he did prior to the injury at 7.6% walk percentage there. In Cleveland, they're a slumping team without Jose Ramirez. 85 WRC plus. 27.2% K percentage over the last 30 games. If we're looking for a home run rate, I'm going to probably try to find a homer for Dinger Friday. I'm going to go after Gavin Williams, even though he's given up a lot more on the road than at home. But 10 of his 17 homers have been against lefties. Brandon Lau actually has more road homers than home homers. That's unique for Pirates left-handed hitters. A lot of those Pirates lefty hitters have really benefited from PNC Park. I'm going to go Jared Jones, the over 5.5 Ks, plus 110 at Circa. That's the only book, by the way, that has a plus price on that prop. All the others are a little bit negative, like minus 106, minus 110 in some books. For Dinger Friday, Brandon Lau, plus 420, bet Rivers.
Let's move over to Rangers Braves in Atlanta. Cal Quantrill, Chris Sale is your pitching matchup. I know you have a play on the total, Jeff, and of course we need a Dinger Friday play.
Yeah, so this one is a focus on Chris Sale, another guy that, hey, another ace that we didn't see in the All-Star game. It's kind of interesting to see that there, that Sale's one of the guys we were kind of betting on in terms of for the Cy Young Award. Still, I think still in the hunt here. I don't think there's really much of a play on the money line here just because of the prohibitive price, but this is a big mismatch there. So I'm going to take the under instead. And most places is at 8. At Hard Rock, I saw it at 8.5. You have to pay a minus price for that, minus 125. I'll do that for the extra half a run just in case. For Dinger Friday, going to go a little chalky here. Matt Olson, plus 295 over at DraftKings.
Let's get one more play on the card, Jeff, before we hand out our best bets of the night. Give us a Dinger Friday play for Tigers Angels.
All right, Troy Milton versus Reed Detmers here. Reed Detmers has allowed 10 of his 12 homers against right-handed hitters. Got the over 8 runs in this one, minus 120 at Caesars. Dinger Friday, Spencer Torkelson at plus 375. Over at Hard Rock. Thought about Dylan Dingler, but he had that finger injury before the break. Going to just shy away from that for a little bit. I'll start him in my lineups, but I'm not going to bet the Dinger Friday.
finish out the week with our best bets of the night, Jeff. I'm going to be handing out another early NBA win total, but what do you have for us in baseball?
I got TJ Rumfield, Dinger Friday, plus 554 at DK. Lefty up against Brady Singer in Coors Field. I like that over in Dodgers Yankees. Special shout out on A's Nationals over 9.5 as well. Nationals, the best over team at the break.
I'm taking the Chicago Bulls. Something I never thought I would say, Jeff. Over 24.5 wins. A flat out disrespectful number for what I think is actually a pretty talented Bulls team. I love the starting five. They own their own pick. There's no incentive to bottom out if you're the Chicago Bulls. We will add that to our Cleveland Cavaliers over 48.5. That's going to wrap the Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. Keep it locked. Money Moves coming your way next.